How many of you guys know how to start a fire? You're like stuck out in the middle of the woods. Nobody's around. It's just you for miles and miles and miles. And it all depends on you. How many of you say, like, I could totally start a fire by myself? Like three of you. Okay. Wow. All right. There's going to be a lot of like people not surviving here. Well, let me tell you, I learned how to build fires like the hard way. But there was this one camping trip that we were on. Some of your adult leaders in the room, the guys, we got together. We went to Justin's house back in the day, and we went, he had all these woods behind his house, and it was winter time, but it's Florida, so we're like, it's warm enough. We decided we were going to hammock camp. So we brought our hammocks. You guys ever hammock camp? No, like none of you. You got to do this. You haven't lived. Or maybe there's just a lot of smoke and I don't see you. Sorry. So a few of you have. We went out, dude, and we brought our hammocks. We hung them in trees. We found the best trees. We made a fire. It was an awesome night hanging out. But it started getting cooler and cooler. And we weren't expecting it to drop so much. And so we go to bed. Like, I'm in bed and I got these blankets wrapped all the way around me like a burrito. So that, like, when I'm laying in my hammock, my back's not cold. You know, I'm ready for the night. I go out, do my little snore, get my snore on. It's awesome. I hear everybody's, like, sleeping. Around 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and my nose is just totally numb. My body's aching from the cold. I'm like, how did it get this cold? And I hear this crackling behind me. And I'm like, I'm about to get eaten by a bear. I'm gonna be a Rob Popsicle right now. This bear's gonna eat me. This is terrible. And as I look out, I like peek over my hammock. It's not a bear, it's a fire. Like the fire was like raging. I'm like, how on earth did this fire start back up? And I look over and sure enough, there's Justin sitting by that fire, like tending it and just snoring. Like his mouth is like full open. He's just full on like one of those, like it was in one of those embarrassing snores. And he's just like trying to stay warm by the fire. So one by one, I see everybody kind of like sneak out of their hammocks and go like get around the fire until all of us are just sitting there wrapped in blankets, uncomfortably falling asleep around this fire because it was so cold. But Justin that night was the hero, you know, because he was the one who had to get up when it was freezing cold. There was no fire to go to. He was the one who had to leave those like nice warm blankets to jump out of that hammock and go make this fire. Now, mostly because he's the biggest like sissy in the room. You know, he's the biggest girl, so he's going to have to go do it. Us manly men, we were like, no, we're good. But once we saw that fire, we're like, oh, yeah. So we all jump over there. But he's the one who made the sacrifice. For me, it was easy. Like, I just jump out of my hammock, and I know where to go. I know where that fire is. I know where I'm going to keep warm. But he had to be the first. He had to be the one, because there's always got to be the first, right? That leader that steps up and is like, someone's got to do something here. Now, I asked you how many of you guys can make fires. Probably that night, for a lot of you, you would have just been cold all night, right? Luckily, Justin knew how to start a fire. Luckily, Justin had the leadership to get up out of his hammock and to make that thing so the rest of us could enjoy the fire. And we stayed warm that night because of him. And so tonight, as we're starting a new series, it's called We Start Fires. And the reason why we're talking about fires is because the Lord in 2 Timothy chapter 1 tells us that we are in charge of going around and starting fires. And you're like, Rob, what? Like, what are you talking about? That's illegal. Not that kind of fire. You see, what God's talking about here in this passage is a much better, much more long-lasting fire. You know, some people say, hey, you guys are firehouse. Why are you firehouse? That makes no sense. Like, you're going around like spraying out like the fire of the Holy Spirit in people, like you're trying to discourage people. Like, no, we're firehouse because we start fires. We want to do what the Lord says and commands us to do. So I want to invite you guys in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look there with me. Verses 6 and 7 is all we're looking at tonight. It says this: for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so in this passage, the Apostle Paul, he's this dude who's going around and God is using this guy. He was persecuting the church. He was going around killing Christians. And then God shows up in his life in this miraculous way. And it's like, hey, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to my church? And Paul changes his mind. He's like, I'm going to follow you. So now instead of killing Christians, he's out planting churches. He's out encouraging Christians. And one of these guys that he's encouraging, his name is Timothy. And he puts him in charge of this church of these new believers where Timothy's like the youngest guy. So he has all these older people who are trying to like tell him what to do, and it's like this really difficult leadership position for him. Not to mention there's persecution and all these things that could happen to him, go to prison for preaching about Jesus. So he's got a tough job. And Paul writes him this letter to encourage him. And what does he tell Timothy that we just read right there? Start a fire, man. The best advice I can give you is to start a fire. We're starting this new evangelism project. I'm wearing the shirt right now, the one we just did, your student leaders. We have this Jesus Freak shirt, and we wore it out once a week into the community, and we were intentional those days to go start conversations with people and be like, I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm wearing a freak shirt. Like, obviously, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, and I want to tell you about him. And so we did that for 6 weeks, and it was awesome. We had great conversations. We heard awesome stories about people who got to hear about who Jesus is, not because of the shirt, but because the shirt was a reminder to us to be intentional that we love Jesus and that we're not ashamed of him. And so we want to invite the rest of Firehouse to join us starting next week. And we're going to have a new shirt, and the shirt's going to be We Start Fires. I'm not going to show it to you tonight, though. You'll get to come next week and find out what the shirt looks like. It's awesome. But we're going to, tonight in our life groups, talk a little bit about what that means and how we can do this together. And your life groups, your leaders are going to be ready to kind of fill you in on the details. But we want you to be a part of this. We want you to not be ashamed of who Jesus is in your life. If you're sitting in the room and you're like, Jesus has saved me, that's great news. That's news you should want to share, and we want to encourage you to do that, and we want to do it with you. That's what this project's all about. And so we're starting it tonight by talking about Timothy, because that's when Paul says, hey, go start a fire. And let's see what he meant by that in 2 Timothy 1:6. He starts out by saying, for this reason. And what he's talking about is that Timothy had faith. He believed in Jesus. And because he believed in Jesus, he had a reason to tell him this. He wouldn't just go up to anybody and be like, hey, go start a fire, right? It wouldn't make sense. If he walked up to an atheist or someone who had a totally different religion, it wouldn't work. He doesn't have the ability to start a spiritual fire because he doesn't have the power of God behind him. But Timothy does. So if you're here tonight and you're listening to this and you've believed in Jesus, I want you to tell you that's a reason why I'm telling you tonight what we're studying. Because you have a power inside of you that's unimaginable, and it's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. And he wants to do incredible things through you, so you need to hear this. You need to be reminded. And that's what he says next. For this reason, I remind you. Maybe tonight some of you need the reminder. You've come here and you're just doing your thing. Some of you guys still have a couple weeks left of school, and this is kind of a celebration looking toward that. And you're still like trying to get through exams, and you're still trying to like do your thing. And others just got done, and you don't want to think about another thing. You're just ready to relax. But this is the perfect time. This is the perfect night to hear a reminder. If you're walking around with the Holy Spirit of God in you, there's a power inside of you that is unimaginable. Will you look to God and say, do something? Let's start a fire. See, maybe tonight you need to be reminded, just like Paul is reminding Timothy, who's a pastor, by the way, and still getting this reminder, because we all need it. We all need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraging each other. That's why we do life groups. We get in there and we get in small groups and we're like, hey, tell me about your week. How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? Keep going. And there's nights I'm sure you definitely need to hear that. And there's also nights God probably wants you to be the one saying that. Somebody else sitting in your group who came discouraged, beat up emotionally throughout the day, and who knows what happened at home or at school, and they just need you to remind them of the power that's inside, of the Holy Spirit that lives within them. And so this reminder, guys, that's why I'm here tonight. I came tonight with the purpose of reminding you what Paul's about to say, to tell you that you have Jesus on your side. You guys have heard us say all the time at Firehouse that our goal is to help you hear the voice of the Lord, say yes to him, and then invite others along as you obey. That's our mission statement. Like, that's what we do here. And Timothy, as he's sitting in his church, he had this big, big task. You see, he heard God's voice. He heard the call to go be a pastor. And he said yes, and he goes and he tackles this really difficult thing, trusting the Lord. But then all of a sudden, he got hit by discouragement. You ever been discouraged? You ever felt like depressed or let down or burned out, hopeless, wondering like, what's my purpose? What am I doing here? That's where Timothy was at. And as he's sitting there discouraged, Paul gets to remind him. He gets to encourage him that as he said yes to God when he heard his voice, he's trying to invite these other people along with him, that he could have courage and boldness in the process, that he could overcome the discouragement, that he could overcome all that stuff that was holding him back and pulling him down right now. And he was about to tell him these huge words. These are the next things, right? I remind you, hear these huge words. Fan into flame. Start a fire. He's telling him, go start a fire. And Timothy's probably thinking like, Paul, are you serious? I'm discouraged, man. I'm having a hard time getting out of bed. I don't even want to go face these people. I don't want to worry about getting dragged off to prison because I'm preaching about Jesus. Like, I have all these things going on, and you're telling me, buck up, have courage, start a fire. What kind of audacity did Paul have to say something like that? How could that be his reminder and his encouragement? I showed you that really weird video I found on YouTube from like 100 years ago because, first of all, I like old weird videos. But second, because it's this picture of what Paul's saying right here when he says fan into flame. You see that guy took the moss? It was just like some dry like Spanish moss. We have it in all of our trees around here, our big live oaks. He took some moss and he had these rocks and he just made sparks with them. And it was this teeny tiny little spark in the middle of that moss is how that fire started. That's all he had. And then he takes it and he pulls it up to his mouth. And what does he do? He blows on it. I'm like, bro, don't do it. Like, I always get nervous when I see that. I'm like, you're going to blow it out. There's just like a tiny spark. Be careful. But it doesn't blow it out. What happens is when he blows on it, it fans into flame. This teeny little ember turns into, did you see how big that flame got? Like, every time he blew into it, it just kind of went crazy big. That's what Paul's saying about fanning into flame this gift that God's given him. It's not like, hey, this flame's already huge. There's a bonfire going, so start getting it bigger. Throw some gas on it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that tonight you might feel like that teeny little ember in that moss. And you might be looking at your life and you're like, there's no fire here. There's no passion. Nothing's burning. I'm dry right now. How could Paul be talking like that to me? I got nothing going on. But the whole point of that phrase he's using, fan into flame, means that you take something really small, this tiny ember, and that you're bringing it into a flame from basically nothing. So if you're here tonight, you're like, man, Rob, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know how God's like built me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. This is a lot right now. You're throwing a lot on me. It's okay. It's okay to be there right now. It might just be a tiny spark inside that when you look at your life, you're like, I'm not sure I really have a whole lot to offer. And God's like, but you do. But you do. And know that that little spark is in there because you're saved. And when Jesus is inside of you, Jesus is your power and your strength and your fire. That's Jesus. Jesus is the most powerful being of all existence. You think he'd be in you and you'd be like weak? So that spark is actually the power of Christ, just waiting to blaze. So what Paul's saying is you might feel discouraged right now, but if you trust that Jesus is there, you fan that thing a little bit, you're going to start a fire. It's going to blaze inside of you. You're going to step up with this passion for Jesus like you didn't ever think could possibly happen. Because you were looking at this tiny spark and going like, this is nothing. And Jesus is seeing what you can be. He sees this inferno that wants to blaze in your heart if you'll just do the one thing he's saying to do. Just fan that flame. Trust him. Look to Jesus and say, let's go. I don't feel like I have much. I'm discouraged. I'm down, I feel broken, I'm sad, I'm whatever it is that's holding you back from saying yes to Christ.
say it to him and say, Lord, this is the truth. Here it is. But it's my truth. Will you blow on this? Will you cause the flame to burst? Will you set it ablaze in my heart? Can't possibly be that simple, can it? But that's exactly what we're told to do. You see, we want to make it harder. Be like, Rob, give me my 10 steps of what I need to do. Let me go work this thing out. Let me make it happen. But really, Jesus is like, I want to do it for you. I'm already in there. Trust me. Say yes. Let that flame be fanned into something huge and start a fire tonight. So Paul gives him this advice, right? He says this, fan into flame the gift of God. You know that it's not yours. It's not like you're trying to create this thing. Like, okay, I'm going to go practice really hard at doing this and being awesome at this. And then I'll come back to you, God, and I'll be ready. He's like, no, I've already given it to you. It's already in there. It's waiting for you to acknowledge that it's there. He's already placed it inside of you. If you're here tonight and I'm like, hey, what's your gift? What's your spiritual gift? And you're like, man, I'm not sure I have one yet. No, you do. The second you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit entered you and gifted you. It's there. Now, what you need to do is just say, God, use this thing. Fan it into flame. Cause this thing to be this passion inside of me that grows and burns bright. I want to go out and tell people about Jesus and what he did for me. I want them to know that he saved me. Your fire starts to burn. And the flames get brighter and bigger and hotter because you're trusting Jesus in this gift that God gave you and has already placed inside of you. So fan it, and fan it hard. Which is in you, he says, right? It's already there through the laying on of my hands. Do you know that Paul actually played a part in this? Laying on of hands was this way of like discipling and equipping and helping someone grow. Do you know that Firehouse, like that's our purpose? Like they're describing why we exist. We're here to help you fan this flame. We're here to help you grow, help you discover how God wants to use you, help you walk closer to Jesus and know him better. That's what Paul did. And he said, this gift that's burning in you, he's like, I know it's there because I've been walking with you. I've been helping you do this. Now listen, y'all, I love that you come here and I want you to keep coming here, but I want you to take full advantage of what we do. If you're just coming to chill and see your friends and leave, you're missing out on the power of what this is. We're here to help you grow closer to Jesus. We're here to help you fan that flame and let it burst into a fire so God will do unbelievable things in your life. And if you're not taking advantage of that, you're missing out. And you could keep coming. We're going to keep loving you. But I want to challenge you, take another step. Do more than just come and chill. Enter into discipleship relationships with your leaders, with me, with people that are here to serve at Firehouse to help you grow. Student leaders who are coming around wanting to lead you as you say yes to Jesus. Take advantage of that and watch your life grow in Jesus Christ. Start a fire. Be people that want to go around and start fires. He says, through the laying out of my hands, and then he says this, for God gave us not a spirit of fear. You know, the number one conversation I have with probably you guys, right, different people in this room and other students from around our community is anxiety. It's a big deal. It always seems to come back to you like, I'm stressed, I have anxiety, I'm dealing with all these things inside of me, I'm depressed. And I think it's interesting that Paul right here nails it on the head. He speaks against anxiety. So many of us are dealing with it, this fear. Fear of who we are, fear of who other people see us as, fear of life. Paul says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. That's your brokenness. And the beauty of that is that God wants to fix it. God's offering you something through Jesus. He says, the spirit inside of you, it's not of just fear. It's not of anxiety. It's holding you back and paralyzing you as you face these things God's calling you to do. What he's asking you to do is, instead of being afraid, to trust that he can, to trust that he loves you, to trust that you cannot fail if you're following Jesus. It's impossible to fail because Jesus never fails. You do. So if you're running on your own, you might. But if you're trusting in Jesus, there's no failure in your future. Will you trust him? So often Satan uses that to keep us from saying yes to God. We hear his call, right? We hear the voice and he's like, hey, I want you to do this. And we're like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I can't do that. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've missed out on opportunities to follow Jesus because I was scared. So I was afraid. I was afraid to say yes. I was afraid that he would change my life too much or want too much from me. I was afraid that I'd have to give up too much or it wouldn't look the way I wanted it to look. But when you're ready to go, God, just take my life. Just take it all. If you want to change my plans for college or what I'm going to do in my future or whatever, like whatever that looks like, do it. Change it. It's yours. Take it all. All of a sudden, something incredible happens in you. The fear goes away because you're not afraid of losing stuff anymore. You're trusting that God knows best and is going to do something incredible in your life, and he will, if you trust him, because he hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Instead, he's given you hope. He's rescued you from danger. He's been your savior, and that's what he promises to be for you if you just trust him. Timothy had so much to fear. Persecution, death. These other Christians that were in his church were facing the same problems every single day. And Paul's encouragement was, hey, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He says, instead, let the fire of hope of Jesus burn inside of you. Burn up that fear. Don't let it hold you back anymore and say yes tonight to Jesus. And here's what he says. Instead of fear, he's giving you a spirit of power and of love. This power isn't just yours. It's a power that was able to conquer death. It's a power that was able to conquer sin. It is the power of Jesus Christ inside of you. You can trust him because there is no greater power. Trust it. But it's cool that he doesn't just say power. You know, because power, like, it can run away on you and be used for horrible things. But he doesn't just say power. He says of power and love. That this power was used for a purpose. And just the life of Jesus shows it. He had this infinite power, and yet he went to a cross and humbly laid there. He let those soldiers put nails in his hands and feet. He let those soldiers whip him and beat him and shove a crown of thorns in his head. And he hung there willingly. With all of that power, Jesus did it because of love. And so when God comes to you and he gifts you, it's not for your own glory. It's not for you to get people to pat you on the back and say, oh man, you're so awesome. It's so that you can go out and use it to love other people and serve them. Just like Jesus did. And finally, he says, it's of power, love, and self-control. And that word self-control is pretty cool in Greek. It means like the ability to keep clear focus, even like under pressure. When things are going wrong, you're able to stay focused. And it's this idea that Timothy is here facing all these problems. And if he trusts in Jesus, that fogginess of being confused and in danger and everything else, it tends to go away and your eyes start to fix on the one place that can help. And you start to see Jesus. And you start to see how much you need him and depend on him. And your heart goes, Lord, I trust you. Tonight, I trust you. Like, you can start to try a fire any way you want. I have so many of you have asked me this question, and you know who I'm talking about. Like, you've come up and you've been like, hey, I want to be on fire for Jesus. I've seen these baptisms. I've heard testimonies from students. All these other kids saying like, hey, I want to be on fire for Christ. How do I do that, Rob? You can't start it on your own. Don't try. But if you look to Jesus, if you go, hey, God, tonight, it's yours. My whole life. I'm tired of holding back. You can have it all. You know what Jesus will do? He's going to take that, and he's going to blow a flame into your life that will not be extinguished. Because you've surrendered. Surrender is the key to starting a fire. So when Paul looks at Timothy, he's like, hey, man, fan this thing into flame. What he's saying is, remember Jesus. Turn your eyes back on the only one who can fix all of this, who can help you face your fears, who can help you stand up in power, love, and self-control, and let that thing blaze. And it's not just for you. Now, I told you about Justin, right? When he got up, he could have just made that fire for himself. But did you see what happened? You hear what happened? One by one, every dude ended up over there by the heat of that flame. And that's what will happen in your life as Jesus sets that thing ablaze. As you start to be on fire for Christ, your friends will start to notice. People who are hurting are going to start to seek you and be like, hey, I need that. Like, I need to cuddle up by the warmth of that fire. Like, I need to know how to have that because I'm broken. I'm hurting here. And you'll see that that fire isn't just for you. It's to love on the people around you. It's to minister and serve the people who are hurting all over the place. It's not just about changing your behavior so you act differently. What happens is, as you trust Jesus and become like him, your behavior changes. You start to act like Jesus. Not because you're trying necessarily, but because your eyes are focused on the one, the rescuer, the savior, who's done it all. So tonight, here's my reminder, here's my question for you, really. Are you trusting in Jesus? With all of it, not just a little bit. Have you given him the whole thing? Are you ready tonight to start a fire? Do you want to see fire started in your friends, people at school, in your family? Do you want this summer to be about telling people about the one thing that can change their entire life? If you do, turn your eyes to Jesus and join us this summer as we decide to start fires. Will you guys pray with me? As our band comes back up and leads us in more worship, I just want you guys to sit there and be honest with yourself and the Lord. As we sing this next song, will you just ask God, like, are you calling me to do this? Lord, are you asking me to start some fires in my life?